السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. الله سبحانه وتعالى reward Mufti Minhaj al-Din for giving me this opportunity. Beautiful environment, mashallah, to see so many young people in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the blessed month of Ramadan. This is very rare to see in this country. But mashallah, the scholars here have done an excellent job to, mashallah, cater for the young people so that Islam can continue to spread and continue to, mashallah, be firm in this country. Because however the youth are at this moment, that is how the future of Islam will be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this sacrifice, accept these efforts, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, like Mawlana Sahib introduced, alhamdulillah, we have an institute also in Dallas, Texas. Alhamdulillah, where we have a program for the memorization of Quran, for the Alim course, also for the girls, the Hifz of Quran, and also the Alima course. Alhamdulillah, this year we just embarked Darul Ifta, where students are studying to become muftis also, alhamdulillah. We request you to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put success to this also, inshallah. Also, alhamdulillah, with the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I've been able to, you know, spend a lot of time in the company of great ulama. And whatever I've heard in their company, inshallah, I'd like to share with the brothers here. Alhamdulillah, I started off my journey in New York, Darul Uloom, New York. And then for the final years of my Alim course, then I traveled overseas to South Africa. Alhamdulillah, I studied in Darul Uloom Azadville, where we studied under, mashallah, great mashayikh, amongst them Shaykh al-Hadith Mu'afadul Rahman A'azami, mashallah, known to be one of the top muhaddith in the country. And then after that, alhamdulillah, for 2 years, I was able to spend time in the company of Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Desai Sahib Rahimahullah, who was one of the top muftis of the country. Most of you have probably heard his name. He was one of the first Hanafi ulama to start an online fatwa platform, askimam.com, and then later on it transferred into askimam.org. So alhamdulillah, Allah blessed me to be in Hazrat's company for a period of 2 years. And mashallah, we were actually his first batch when he moved into the new building. He used to teach in Madrasa in Amia, and then he started his own Darul Ifta. Alhamdulillah, with the fadl of Allah, our batch was the first one to move into that institute, and the madrasa was under construction at that time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that we were able to stay in Mufti Saab's house. We were like part of his family. He put a wall in the middle of his house, half the house for his family, and mashallah, half the house for us, the students. MashaAllah, Brother Riyaz also was very close with Mufti Ibrahim Desai Sahib, rahimahullah. He visited us also while we were there. But mashallah, you know, all these great mashayikh, all these great ulama that we see, you know, the goal of their life was how Allah Ta'ala can be pleased, how Allah's deen can come alive. That was the goal, that was the vision, that was the passion of every scholar. And that's what made them great people, that their whole passion was how, you know, deen can come alive, how deen can spread, what I can do to be a means of benefit for the ummah, how I can leave behind a legacy. And that's what each and every one of us should think also, what I can do for the deen. After I die, what legacy did I leave behind? Every sahabi left behind a legacy, subhanallah. Every sahabi left behind a legacy. So what can I do as a young person in this country? What can I do to improve myself? And also what can I do to improve others? And then alhamdulillah, after I finished with Mufti Ibrahim Desai Sahib Rahimahullah Darul Ifta, then alhamdulillah I was able to travel for 1 year to different countries, mashallah, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the field and the effort of da'wah ilallah. And from that time onwards, since then, alhamdulillah, I've been in Dallas serving the deen at whatever capacity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted us for. But just one thing I would like to mention is that, mashallah, last night also, alhamdulillah, I was sitting in the program, Mufti Azimuddin Saab, may Allah Ta'ala reward him, beautiful advices he was giving. One thing came to my mind to share with the young people is that one is to listen to advice. There's a lot of benefit in that. A lot of benefit in that. But if we want that advice to remain with us, and that's what we all want. We don't want to hear, because we hear a lot of things, but then we forget. Right? On a daily basis, we hear so many things and then we forget. But if we want something to remain with us, then the way to keep something with you after listening to it is that you share that advice with somebody else. If you don't share that advice that you heard with someone else, then most chances are that that advice may not remain with you for too long. But once you share with someone and you tell others about it, then it will remain. Like the way, mashallah, he was explaining how death happens, how the angels of death are, what happens after death, how the soul is extracted from the body, subhanallah. Now if you share that with someone else, whoever you meet, you tell them about it, that will remain with you. And even amongst each other, mashallah, you're here for 10 days, mashallah, especially the mu'takifin. So my advice to all of you would be, whatever you hear from here, from the scholars, take out some time to share that with each other. Sit with each other and say, you know what did you listen to? What did you hear? Share that with me. And I will share what I heard from him. Because he will listen to, in other words, he will remember a different point, and I will remember a different point. So when you share your thoughts with each other, it will remain. Otherwise, immediately after the talk, if we start engaging in useless talk, in i'tikaf, we should not do useless talk anyways. But if we do engage in some other talk, then this advice that we received will not really remain too long. And we want it to remain for us for the rest of our life. In fact, this is in Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهُ وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحًا. So this question Allah is asking, and usually we ask this question also, that who is the best, who has the best Islam? Who has the best deen? That's a question, that's a valid question. Who is the best Muslim? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is answering that himself in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحًا. Allah is saying, I'll tell you who the best person is. Ahsan, who has the most beautiful deen? Right, husn. Whose deen has the most beauty in it? The one who, whatever he hears, دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ, he invites other people towards Allah. He tells other people. And then at the same time, he himself is practicing 100% Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. Now there's two benefits of telling somebody about Allah. Number one is that when you will speak, your own iman will become solid like a mountain. You know, there's one sahabi, Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhumah, somebody asked him, هَلْ كَانَ أَصْحَابُ النَّبِي يَضْحَكُونَ. Did the companions of the Prophet joke also? Did they laugh also? Did they have lighthearted conversations also? So he replied, Naam, of course. They were human beings also. And it's good to joke. It's good to have, you know, relax sometimes with your friends, etc. In fact, to be serious all the time is not good also. We have to release, we have to let out. So he said, of course, we are human beings. We laughed also. We joked also. We had a good time also, which is absolutely, you know, fine, understandable. But he said, the difference between our laughing and your laughing was that even at the time of laughing and joking, our iman was stronger than mountains. Allahu Akbar. While we were joking, we still had Allah in our heart, and that iman was stronger than a mountain. Subhanallah. So when a person will tell others about Allah, who Allah is, your iman will become solid, like a mountain. You will feel that iman in your heart. So that's the first benefit of talking about Allah. Telling other people the advice that you listen to, it will come in your heart. The second benefit is, others will benefit. You benefited, and whoever you tell, they will benefit. Subhanallah. When they will benefit, now whatever advice they heard from you and they practice on it, you will receive all the reward. This is the best business. And this is what every Sahabi did, subhanAllah. So Allah Ta'ala is saying the best Muslim is the one who will tell others who Allah about Allah, good advice, and then he will practice himself. I just want to share one or two stories of Sahaba because they are our role models. I know, mashallah, you have a session after Dhuhr also about the Sahaba. They are our role models. You know, they were such individuals that you just take their name, the iman increases. That's how Allah Ta'ala made them. Just talking about Sahaba, just mentioning their name, just saying Abu Bakr, just saying his name makes the iman strong. Because of what they did, who they were special people. And Allah Ta'ala calls each and every one of us to be like them. We don't want to make our role models, you know, any superstar or anybody else for that matter. Nobody's our role model. Our only role model is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? If we make anybody else our role model, that person will take us to Jahannam. The only one who is worthy to be our role model is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who followed him, and those were the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, and this is in Quran also. Before I share that story, I just want to mention whatever I'm saying right now is based on the ayat of Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right in the second revelation, Suratul Muddathir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but not just him, but others also. He is telling them in the second revelation of Quran, قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. Subhanallah. That this is a command not only to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is a command also to every other Muslim. So the command was stand up and warn everyone. فَأَنذِرْ. Now warn them about what? وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. Warn them and tell them about the greatness of your Rabb. Subhanallah. So that is the first, you know, when we start Salah, Allahu Akbar. The first thing we say in Salah is Allahu Akbar. And I'm going to break this down a little bit, so I want the brothers to focus. I know most of this, the guys were awake the whole night. Will not take long. We'll finish very, very soon, inshallah. But the first call of adhan is Allahu Akbar. The first call of salah is Allahu Akbar, right? Okay, so now let's break this down. You're talking to everybody and telling everybody Allah is great, everything is small. Allah is that's how you fulfill this command of وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. Allah is great, everything is small. Allah is great, how easy that is. But it holds volumes. It makes your iman solid. Now what does it mean for Allah to be great? Because the translation of Allahu Akbar is Allah is greater than everything. Now, one scholar was giving a very beautiful example. He was saying just when you go on an airplane, subhanAllah, you just go on an airplane and you look down from the airplane. Everyone has traveled on an airplane. You look down, how small everything looks. Everything looks so, the human beings are small, the buildings are small, even the Sears Tower is small, everything is small. You can't even see them. And that's just from the airplane. Airplane is right above the clouds. Not too far up. Subhanallah. Now, if it's already so small from the airplane, which is just within the first sky, then imagine how small everything is compared to the Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And the smallest Jannah is 10 times bigger than this whole world and whatever it contains. And according to the interpretation of what does it mean, world and whatever it contains, some of the scholars have mentioned that this means that the smallest Jannah is 10 times bigger than the 7 skies and the earth and everything in between put together. That is the translation of dunya, according to some of the scholars. So now when we take that perspective, how big are the 7 skies? How big are the 7 skies? Which is the smallest Jannah, 10 times bigger than 7 skies and earth. Just follow along. The sun is just one star from the many stars. And the sun is 1.3 million times bigger than this earth. 1.3 million. 1.3 million earths can fit inside of the sun. Now, in our galaxy, which is the Milky Way galaxy, obviously these are, you know, just figures that the scientists have, you know, come to an estimate. But based on whatever research they have done, in our Milky Way galaxy, there are approximately 100 billion stars. And many of the stars are bigger than the sun, because the sun is not the biggest star. 100 billion stars. And just like Milky Way galaxy is one galaxy, there are approximately 100 billion galaxies just like that. So if each galaxy is having approximately 100 billion stars, and there are 100 billion galaxies, how many stars there must be? Allahu Akbar. And that is all within the first sky. Because Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحِ. Allah has beautified the sky of this world, the first sky, with stars. So all the stars are within the first sky that we see. Now, based on, you know, the explanation of the skies and the comparison, first sky compared to the second sky, right? I'm sure everyone heard this example. There's like a ring in a desert. So small. If you throw a small ring in a desert, how small this ring is. That is how big this first sky with all the stars is compared to the second sky. And the first and the second compared to the third is like a small ring in a desert. 1, 2, 3 compared to number 4 is like a ring in a desert, and you keep going like that. So now the smallest Jannah, if it is 10 times bigger than 7 skies and the earth put together, how small is everything that we see? And Jannah is also creation. It's not creator, it's creation. So creation always has limits. The only one who doesn't have limit is Allah. So now when the creation is so huge and it is has limits, imagine when you bring the greatness of the one who has no limits in your heart, then how small everything will be. That's the meaning of Allahu Akbar. As soon as you say Allahu Akbar, everything has to disappear from your heart. It's as if the building does not exist, as if the humans don't, as if you don't see anything except Allah. La mashhud illallah. La mashhud illallah. The only one you can see is Allah. The only one who you can witness is Allah. Because Allah's greatness is everywhere. So when you say Allahu Akbar and tell others how great Allah is, imagine how solid your iman will be. You'll not be affected. You'll not be impressed by that one building. You'll not be impressed by that car. You'll not be impressed by that, by that person that will walk in front of you, the opposite gender. You'll not be impressed. Why? Because your heart is overflowing with the love and the greatness of Allah. That's what happens when you practice on وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. You go to people and you just tell them, brother, Allah is great, subhanAllah. And this is from the lives of Sahaba. I'll tell you that one story, but I'm getting there. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Huraira, you know, Abu Umama, Bahili radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and other senior Sahaba, you know what their practice was? This is why I'm telling you, because you're here for 10 days. They used to grab each other's hand and they used to literally say, this is in Sahih Bukhari also, Mu'adh bin Jabal. They used to say, come, ijlis bina, let's sit down together. Nu'minu sa'atan, let's talk to each other about how great Allah is. Allahu Akbar. Great, great Sahaba, they used to do that. Imagine how strong their iman became after talking about Allah's greatness. Subhanallah. So now, that being said, let's see what this transformed the Sahaba into. There's one Sahabi by the name of Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu. He was sent in the path of Allah, because Sahaba were spread to different places. Rasulullah SAW, there's a chapter in Bukhari Sharif called Kitabul Maghazi. Allahu Akbar. You know, Ajib, you know, you just read the stories of how Rasulullah ﷺ used to send the Sahaba to different localities to establish the deen, to protect the deen and to establish the deen. Amazing. You know, you just think to yourself that if these people, what type of people they were, like, they were ready on call to go anywhere to spread the message. It was like they were created for that. They were made for that. Their passion was how Allah's deen can come alive through me. When I'm in the grave, how my legacy can continue. And that's exactly what happened. Imagine, just close your eyes for a second and think, if Sahaba did not travel to spread the deen, would me and you be Muslim today? None of us would be Muslim. None of us would be Muslim today if the Sahaba did not leave their homes. The leaving of the homes of Sahaba caused Islam to spread to us. If they didn't leave their homes, they said, you know what, we're very comfortable in Makkah and Medina, me and you would not be Muslim. And there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. We would not be Muslim. Because Islam would just remain in one place, and then soon it would die out. But anyways, so at the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he sent a group of Sahaba to different localities. But he sent one specific jama'ah, group of Sahaba, to Rome. So when he sent them to Rome, so this one Sahabi, Abdullah bin Hudhafa, under him were Tabi'een. Tabi'een refers to those who did not meet Rasulullah SAW, but they met the Sahaba. So they were like, you know, the students of Sahaba, you can say. So the Roman king was informed that if this one Sahabi, he leaves Islam, then all those under him will leave Islam also. So your focus should be this one man, Abdullah bin Hudhafa, not the others. So he captured Abdullah bin Hudhafa, Roman king, the Roman Empire, huge empire. So the king says to Abdullah bin Hudhafa, just think about this, subhanAllah. He says to Abdullah bin Hudhafa, he says that leave Islam. Hallaka anta nassara wa ushrikaka fi mulki wa sultani. Just leave Islam and adopt our religion. Become Christian. I will make you a partner with me in my kingdom. It's not going to be me alone. You and me both will rule the Roman Empire. Ushrikaka fi mulki wa sultani. Subhanallah. Can you imagine? Today, unfortunately, we find that the Muslim has become so weak in iman that just for a few extra dollars, we find that he's ready to leave his deen. For one job, he's ready to leave his deen. For one car, he's ready to leave Islam. For one house, he's ready to leave Islam. For one girl, he's ready to leave Islam. This is how, in other words, insignificant our iman has become. So weak. But this Sahabi, the whole kingdom of Rome is offered to him. He says, even if you offer me your whole kingdom and the kingdom of all the kings of the world, Arab and non-Arab, I will not leave Islam even for the blink of one eye. Subhanallah. That's what we call solid iman. Why? He didn't know who he was messing with. This Roman king, he didn't know who he was messing with. He was messing with that person to whom not the Roman kingdom, but the seven skies and the earth were not even equal to the wing of a mosquito. That is the type of man he was talking to. It's like saying, you know what, leave Islam, I'll give you a wing of a mosquito. That's who he was talking to. When we become like that, then Allah honors the Muslims. MashaAllah, Imam Sahib Mawlana Farhan, he read very beautiful in Suratul Munafiqun today. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. These are the type of believers Allah honors. Today we're looking for honor. Last time Mufti Azimuddin spoke about the hadith where a time will come where the disbelievers will eat the believers, just like you eat food on the tablecloth, on the dasturkhan. How you chew up the food and throw away the bones. Like that, the disbelievers will do the same with the Muslims. And we see this happening today. Why? Because that level of iman that Sahaba had is not existing today. We're ready to sell our deen. You know, a Muslim today is ready to bargain with his deen. How much can you pay? I'll sell you my deen. My dear respected brothers, our deen in iman is priceless. Never ever give up your iman. So after that, this Sahabi, the king said, you know what? He's not going to fall for any temptation. Then he threatened that he's going to kill him. So what he did was, he ordered his people that go throw him in hot boiling water. There was a big cauldron with hot boiling water. So when he was about to go there, he was about to be thrown, so he started to cry. Subhanallah. So the king thought that maybe he will turn back and he'll now accept my offer. So he called him back because his whole goal was he should leave Islam so the others can also leave Islam. So when he called this Sahabi back, this Sahabi said that I'm not crying because I'm scared of death. MashaAllah, this point was also covered last night. That we should never be scared of death. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. That's a disease. That's a big disease of the heart. To love the materialistic things and not like death. That is, in fact, my dear respected brothers, the most exciting time of a believer's life. The most exciting time of a believer's life is the time of death. Why? Because he's about to meet his beloved Allah. He's about to meet his beloved Allah. In fact, I was reading Qutbat Hakimul Ummah Sheikh. He mentioned something ajeeb. Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh. He said the time of death for a believer is even more exciting than the time of his nikah in marriage. Why? Because he's about to meet Allah. And Allah is mahbubi haqiqi. Allah is the real beloved. That's the most exciting time to meet Allah. Hakimul Ummah has mentioned that. He said, for the believer at the time of death, when the angels come, that is more exciting than the time of nikah also. Why? Because he's about to meet Allah. Allahu Akbar. So this Sahabi, he came back to Rasulullah, he was brought to this king. So the king said, I can still offer you. You can still leave Islam and your life will be spared. So he said, أَبْكَانِي أَنِّي قُلْتُ فِي نَفْسِي تُلْقَ السَّاعَ فِي هَذِهِ الْقِدْرِ وَتَذْهَبْ وَكُنْتُ أَشْتَهِي أَنْ يَكُونَ بِعَدَدِ كُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ فِي جَسَدِي نَفْسٌ تُلْقَى فِي اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. He says, the reason why I'm crying is because I said to myself, if I die now, that's it, I'm done. One life gone. I wish I had lives equal to the number of hair on my body so that I can give one life after the other. One life after one life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wish I could sacrifice so much for Allah. How much love they had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how the iman becomes solid. When now, whatever you listen to, advice, make intention. You're going to share with each other also. But not just with each other. Whatever you hear, you're going to spread to others also. Because you know very well that the guys that are staying here in i'tikaf, this is not the entire ummah. This is just like a very small percentage of the Muslim young guys in Chicago. How many hundreds and thousands there are in the schools and the colleges, and they are involved in haram, and they're about to leave Islam. You know that very well. And not just in Chicago, all over the country. Not just all over the country, all over the world. So one is to share with each other. That will make your iman solid. But the second thing is you should say, I want to be like Sahabi. I want to travel to spread the message. I want to go to every person and I want to say, you know what? Come with me to the masjid. Like Sahaba, come with me to the masjid. Come with me to the masjid. Let's talk in the masjid. Let's talk about the greatness of Allah. You will change, he will change. This is the sunnah method. This is the sunnah method of da'wah ilallah. This is the sunnah method of how Sahaba spread the message by traveling and inviting people to the environment and discussing who Allah is. And discussing whatever they heard from Rasulullah ﷺ. They would teach hadith. Whatever they heard from the Prophet, they would teach others. May Allah Ta'ala reward the brothers for listening. Alhamdulillah. We'll be here for the next one day, inshallah. In order to learn this effort of da'wah ilallah, because everything has to be according to sunnah. Just like we pray salah according to sunnah, if salah is prayed against the sunnah, it will not be accepted by Allah. Just like that, the effort of da'wah and conveying the message, that also has to be in accordance with the sunnah method. And obviously you learn everything from the experts, mashallah, likulli fannin rijal. So alhamdulillah, in that connection, two things I want to request, especially the students, the young guys. We're so happy, mashallah, to see so many young people. One request I have is that, mashallah, June 27th, 28th, 29th, in Chicago, there's going to be a very large gathering where the experts of the field of da'wah are going to come, inshallah. So if we attend and we listen carefully and we try to focus, then inshallah Allah will open up to us how to do the effort of da'wah ilallah according to the sunnah method in this country, inshallah. So the date, you can save it, June 27, 28, 29th, inshallah. In, where is the place location? Okay, Rosemont, right? MashaAllah. So keep that in mind, inshallah. Number two. Every week, alhamdulillah, in Chicago, we have a markaz. Markaz means the place where, mashallah, brothers are, you know, sent to the in the path of Allah. Talks are happening about the effort and sacrifices of Sahaba. So every Saturday, mashallah, in the markaz in Masjid Noor, every Saturday evening, there's a program. Jami Masjid. In Jami Masjid, right? Everyone knows Jami Masjid, right? So every Saturday night, alhamdulillah. So make intention. Once a week, we go just to charge our iman. And mashallah, you'll really benefit a lot. It'll help you throughout your week. It'll help you how you, when you go to your college and school, you'll not only go as a, mashallah, you know, a person who is firm on his deen, but you will go to that school and the college with the intention that you will encourage others and change others. Sahaba, when they went to other countries, they changed the countries. When you go to your school and college, you should change your school and college. Not that the college should affect you. You should affect others. By the time you graduate, that entire college should become Muslim. That's the type of effort you guys should make. Because you want to be like Sahaba. And Sahaba, when they went to the country, they didn't just change the religion. They changed the language also. Egypt is not Arab. Egypt is in Africa. But we consider them Arab because they speak the Arabic language. When the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and the Salaf, when they travel to different places, they not only change the deen, they change the language also, subhanallah. So when you go to your college and university, you should change the environment there. You should bring alive Islam there. But that will only happen when you are an inviter. If you're not an inviter, then others can easily invite you. So the way to protect your deen is that you become solid inviters, inshallah. Everybody will do that, inshallah. Jazakallah khair for listening to me. May Allah Ta'ala accept you all, take you from strength to strength, and make you those who will bring alive Islam in this country. I thank Mufti Sahib for giving me time. I feel shy. MashaAllah, Mufti Sahib is much senior and he's sitting here listening to me. This is a sign of his sifat and beautiful qualities. May Allah Ta'ala accept all of you, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم اجعلنا دعاة إليك وإلى رسولك اللهم اجعلنا دعاة إليك وإلى رسولك اللهم اجعلنا من الذين يجاهدون في سبيلك اللهم أحي الدين كله في العالم كله إلى يوم القيامة واجعلنا سببا لذلك oh Allah forgive our sins oh Allah make our iman strong all these youth who are sitting here all the brothers who are sitting here except they're sitting here make their iman strong like the iman of Sahaba and accept them to Allah spread your deen throughout this country and the entire world oh Allah accept Darussalam oh Allah accept this masjid accept this madrasa oh Allah make this madrasa means of hidayat for the entire country make this a markaz of hidayat markaz of ilm to spread throughout the ummah to Allah oh Allah give it qabuliyat give it acceptance protect it from all directions protect it from the evil eye protect this institute from the top bottom right left from all directions oh Allah you give your special oh Allah attention to this institute and make this a means of great khair coming into existence in this country, O Allah, all the ulama who teach here, all the students who study here, accept them, O Allah, give them istiqamat and steadfastness on deen and the effort of deen, put nur in their ilm, give them ilmun nafi' and all those, O Allah, who are studying the ilm of deen, and all those who are making the effort of deen, O Allah, throughout the ummah, accept them to spread your deen, O Allah, protect our children from being affected by this toxic environment of this country, make our children those who will bring alive your deen in this country, O Allah, protect them from being those who will be affected by the evil of this country. Jazallahu anna Muhammadan ma huwa subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursalin alhamdulillah jazakumullah
InshaAllah, we can do individual ibadah, dhikr. There's still some time to sunrise. If you're staying awake till ishraq, or if you need to take some rest, then you can wake up, inshaAllah. Jazakumullah khair.